Now, straight from the headlines, bringing you our latest top newsmakers. This is Miriam Raftery with the East County Magazine Show on KNSJ 89.1 FM Descanso, recording at our Hideaway Studio in East County. Today we are going to be talking about the proposed sand mine in Lakeside's El Monte Valley, and my very special guest today is Anna Nita. Anna is a Lakeside resident. She is also a journalist and an activist, and she has been working on a documentary about this entire issue. Anna, welcome to the show.
Thank you for having me.
So tell me a little bit about yourself first. How long have you lived in Lakeside, and what drew you to that area?
I lived in Lakeside for the past 8 years, and I am happy to be a resident of this amazing community. I learned so much, and my favorite attraction is the closeness to the hiking trails, because that's my favorite thing to do with my daughter.
How will those hiking trails be impacted if this proposed sand mine were to be approved?
For people who do not know what are we talking about and who never visited El Monte Valley, it's the last pristine wildlife habitat in the entire San Diego County, not just in East County. Two roads flanking the valley are designated scenic roads, not the valley itself. So Willow Road and El Monte Road are scenic roads.
Mm-hmm. And what are some of the types of wildlife that you see out there?
Well, first of all, we have like few endangered species that are federally protected, and I think they should remain that way. And I can name the glossy snake, the checker spot butterfly, the gnatcatcher, least bell vireos, and recently there was, I think, three-legged red frog discovered, which is very rare.
Mm.
And but you can see tons of other creatures living in the valley, such as several species of hawks,
mm-hmm.
Bald eagles, you see them there, golden eagles.
Bald eagles are very rare in our county.
That's
also
true.
I know folks who've seen bobcats, weasels, all kinds of things, mountain lions out there even.
That's true. Fox?
Fox, yeah, lots of them. So for people who are not familiar with the sand mine project, can you tell us how large that would be? Put it in perspective for us.
They wanted to start on the land they optioned right now, which is a few hundred acres, but I do have information that they want to ultimately sand mine the entire valley if they can actually purchase more
and
land.
How deep would the mining go?
The initial plan asked for 100 feet deep,
mm-hmm.
But right now they revised the project and they claim only 35 feet deep. That's only 5 feet above the water, the aquifer.
Yeah, so people I know are very concerned about the water quality, the folks that are on wells out there. And even if they scale it back, there still are some very significant impacts. For example, we've heard that the gravel trucks, according to the EIR, or the plans that the developer put forward, would be going down this road every few seconds all day long for 20 years or 30 years. I guess it was initially 30, and now they're saying 20 years. But still, every day, 5 days a week, the residents would be subjected to this. And many of them are very, very, very close to the road where these trucks would be going by virtually nonstop. Now, I understand there are also some concerns about valley fever. Can you tell us about that?
I interviewed several people who got infested by valley fever, which is a fungus you can find around Native Americans' sites, especially around Indian Village.
Yeah, and this was the original home of Akumiai Village down there. This was a place where Native Americans lived for thousands of years.
And you're lucky if you survive valley fever, because I just recently met a gentleman who is actually dying from it.
Yeah,
it's very dangerous.
It can be fatal. Valley fever spores are not harmful if they stay buried, but the problem occurs if they are disrupted, if the soil is exposed, and obviously when you sand mine, this can expose a tremendous amount of spores. I might add, not only in El Monte Valley, but to anywhere else where that sand is carried and transmitted. So if it's used for construction projects elsewhere in the county, potentially it could spread those spores. At least that's what a valley fever expert has told us in the past. So, Anna, tell us about your documentary.
Well, I started hiking in the valley several years ago, and my best friend, Billy Ortiz, told me about the story of sand mining. And
yeah, Billy Ortiz, he used to write quite a bit for us, and now he's out doing a lot of his own reporting and about this all over various sites that he has on Facebook.
He and I are the leader of this movement. We are leading Preserve Our El Monte page and also the community in the fight against sand mining. So hiking in the valley like several years ago with my best friend Billy Ortiz, I found out about the story of sand mining, and my first reaction was to scream, I think this is not a story about business against nature. This is a story about corruption. I can securely say that based on my experience as an investigative reporter covering hundreds of stories in my life, and most of them similar. So after I found out about that, I wanted to do a documentary, which I'm still working on, but I faced the same dilemma that every reporter faces sometimes. There was a story a few years ago about somebody who set himself on fire, and the camera guy was recording and didn't jump in to save the person. Yeah. So I faced the same dilemma. What do I do? Do I report or do I get involved?
And how do you resolve that?
I'm reporting it in an objective manner, trying to stay neutral and seek the truth. And in the same time, I got involved because the truth is the truth.
Yeah.
And I know the truth. And as a citizen, I choose to get involved. And as a journalist, I choose to report on it.
So we're going to go into some more details in a moment. But first, can you tell our listeners a little bit about your background as an investigative reporter? Where did you work? Where were your stories published or aired?
Right now, I'm a freelancer journalist. So I publish in East County, California, and several other avenues. I work for the news, inside.com, which is a news agency, and also as a news editor for NBC7. But in the past, I was a war correspondent. I travel, and my causes of choice are disadvantaged children and women.
Wow.
So I've been awarded by UNICEF for my and Save the Children for my contribution to the cause of children.
So with NBC and working as a war correspondent, obviously you have some very extensive journalist credentials, and you know the journalism code of ethics and so forth, and you have experience writing about and uncovering corruption stories, which brings us to the issue of Michael Beck. Michael Beck is the chairman of the San Diego County Planning Commission, and he was appointed by Supervisor Diane Jacob. He's also the chairman of the San Diego River Park Foundation, and he also is
the president of Endangered Habitat League, who is partnered up with the sand miners.
Okay, so he's president of the Endangered Habitat League. They're partnering with the sand mine owners, and so they stand to profit directly and in a very large way, presumably, if the sand mine is built. So you have gone to the supervisors and publicly called for Michael Beck to resign. What did he say?
Well, I went to the San Diego County Board of Supervisors, and then I went to the San Diego Planning Commission. So when I went to the San Diego County Board of Supervisors, I asked all the five supervisors to step in and solve the issues, try to, make the right decision when it comes to Hanson Pond, which is a replica on a smaller scale of what Michael Beck intends to do in a valley. Okay. And also I asked for Michael Beck's resignation and several other things. But
yeah, I understand. You also asked that if he didn't resign, you've asked the supervisors to remove him. It would be Supervisor Jacob who appointed him to remove him. And what answer have you had to that? So has she agreed to remove him or consider removing him or not?
I'm still waiting for an official answer.
Okay. And you've mentioned that it's been quite a while now and that she may feel some loyalties to Michael Beck, who in some ways at one time was considered an environmentalist, but also I understand there's some direct ties with him and the supervisor. Can you tell us about that?
Well, one thing I found out, and I can prove it, is that Michael Beck organized fundraising campaign for another supervisor. His name is Dave Roberts. And when I inquired Supervisor Roberts about that, I've been banned, and I still don't have an official answer.
So he banned you on his Facebook page?
He did, yes. But I don't have an official answer to my email either.
You know, that's an interesting point, because when Sheriff Bill Gore tried to ban people on his Facebook page who posted things he didn't like, there was a decision, a ruling that came out that said that that's illegal, that you cannot do that. If a public official has a website, they cannot ban posts, I mean, unless it's obscene or something like that. And so he actually opted and told that he had to either allow all the posts or take the site down. He took his Facebook page down. So that's interesting. I'm not sure that Supervisor Roberts is on legal ground there to ban posters off of his official supervisor Facebook page. I suspect that he is not. Well, that's not the first time that Supervisor Robert has had, lobbyists and development project supporters hold fundraisers for him. In fact, it was done immediately within a week after he voted to approve the Soitec Solar, very controversial industrial-scale solar project out in the Boulevard McCain Valley area. And the lobbyist for the landowner in the Soitec project promptly hosted a big fundraiser for Roberts, which upset a lot of people at the time. They felt that he should have recused himself because that seemed to be a rather clear conflict of interest if you're voting on something knowing you've got a fundraiser coming up being held by the project's lobbyist.
We, Billy Ortiz and I, as the leader of this movement, are not on a personal vendetta against Dan Jacobs or Dave Roberts or any other supervisor of Michael Beck. Mm-hmm. I mean, we do not deny they did amazing things for the community, but it does not excuse them, of the fact that they're not doing the right thing right now. Supervisor
right.
Jacob does have the power to ask Michael Beck to resign because she's the one who appointed him as the member of the San Diego Planning Commission, and she's the one who has the power to ask him to resign.
Yeah, I mean, a couple of points here. We should note that Diane Jacob was the only one of the supervisors in the past who fought and tried to get the PUC to block the Sunrise Power Link that was very controversial through the same valley out there in Lakeside. So there's certainly some reason why some folks in Lakeside feel some loyalties to her, and she's not here to, you know, to discuss this today. We certainly welcome her comments on the situation currently. But back to Michael Beck for a moment. So there's more, though, than just this perceived conflict of interest. Potentially, I suppose he could recuse himself from the vote. But you've also raised concerns about his activities at Hanson Pond, which is an old sand mining project in Lakeside. As I understand it, his environmental organization, you know, had taken county funding with a promise to restore the habitat out there. How's that coming along?
Well, that's not coming along very well. And when we try to step in and inquire what is going on, Supervisor Jacob threatened us with the sheriff to call the police on us. Yes.
She threatened to call the sheriff on you. And what were you doing at the time? What was it that you were trying to do?
Well, first of all, we were the first ones to raise awareness about the fact that although Michael Beck Organization Endangered Habitat League received public money to purchase the land at Hanson Pond to restore it and then to build a trail, a public trail, multi-use public trail, and also a staging area, he closed down the public trail and refuses, you know, to cooperate.
Now, she has said that this was on private land.
Well, it was partially on private land, but San Diego County paid him $1 million for just the rights to build the trail on 33 acres.
And then he closed the trail down.
And
coincidentally, right about the time that a protest was planned at the pond over this project.
That's true. So San Diego County does have the power to hold him accountable for his side of the bargain. And so when I found out that Dan Jacobs is going to have a private secret meeting with Michael Beck and Robin Reardon, who is the executive director of Lakeside River Park Conservancy and the one who received the grant to restore Hanson Pond, Billy Ortiz and I went to her public office, were invited to sit in a waiting room. And 1 minute after, her assistant, Adam Wilson, came outside and said that we want to play games, and if we don't leave right away, then Jacob is going to call the police on us.
Her aide threatened to call the sheriff?
He actually said, Diane Jacobs says so. I asked him.
Was this in a public building?
Right after, we called her office in San Diego and asked if her office in El Cajon is private or public, and we've been told it's a public office. A private office is only when she pays for the rent.
Correct.
With
it
her
is
own
public.
Money.
It is a public office.
It's a public office, and we've been threatened with the police if we don't leave the premises where we were actually invited in.
Who invited you?
Adam Wilson, the same person.
Wow.
Who told us.
We'll certainly be reaching out to Supervisor Jacob to ask her about that. This is the first that I'm hearing about this threatened arrest, but we definitely would like to hear why they did that, why they did not want you in the meeting, the private meeting that she was having with Michael Beck.
I mean, I understood that I cannot be in a meeting because it was a private meeting that I understood, but I requested, can we just sit and wait, and maybe we can have a word after that, you know, we can have a statement after mm-hmm. that. And Adam Wilson said, sure, sit down. And then he just came outside and said, no, Dan Jacobs said that you have to leave, otherwise she's going to call her.
So you left?
Yes, we left, yes, of course. And we waited outside on the stairs, and we tried to get a statement from Michael Beck, and I tried many times to get his point of view on this, mm-hmm. and he didn't. So
well, I should add that we have reached out to Michael Beck previously in an email asking for his side of the story on some of these issues with the sand mine, and he has just ignored us and has not gotten back to us either. So it's very troubling, I think, when somebody who is a public official, he is a planning commissioner for the county, and when a planning commissioner has such an obvious conflict of interest, he would profit off this project. He has not said he'd recuse himself, and now he's in private meetings where the press, you know, or a citizen activist, either one, is threatened with, you know, being thrown out of the premises for simply wanting to wait and try to ask a question afterwards. I think that's very, very troubling.
His attitude was similar when I went to the county, San Diego County Planning Commission, and I asked him directly to resign, and I reminded him that he owes an answer to the public.
Yeah.
He is a public official, and he does owe an answer to the public.
Have you reached out to the Fair Political Practices Commission, which, after all, recently informed Supervisor Bill Horn that he would have to recuse himself from the Lydic Hills, you know, big development vote, where he had said he wasn't going to recuse himself, even though he had a direct potential financial gain from his own property if the project was approved, since he lives nearby. And they said, yes, he must recuse himself.
I did. About half a year ago, I never heard from them, and I kept sending emails to all the agency who actually financed the project mm-hmm. at Hanson Pond and all the organizations that have Michael Beck on their board, because, you know, you cannot promote yourself as being an environmentalist. Yeah.
But how about the State Fair Political Practices Commission, which oversees these conflicts of interest?
I reached out to them with an email as well.
And they have not answered?
I haven't received any answer.
So what happens next with this project? We understand that, you know, the developer came back. They've scaled it back a little bit. It's still a massive project, but now it's 20 years instead of 30. So does that mean that there's a new environmental impact report that has to be done next?
No, they're working on the environmental impact report, and I understand it's going to be done by, you know, the end of this summer. Mm-hmm. So after that, the public will have a window of, I think, 30 days or 60 days to comment on.
So probably late summer, early fall, the public will have a window again for comment. So you can keep checking on eastcountymagazine.org and in our Green Scene section and our Lakeside Santee section, and we'll be posting updates on that. If the project is approved by the county, or if Michael Beck does not recuse himself here and the project is approved, how far are the residents of Lakeside and El Monte Valley prepared to go to stop this?
As far as it takes, because what is right, and what is wrong. There are gray areas in politics, but we don't care about politics and politicians and their games. We don't want to let that happen in El Monte Valley. It's not the right thing to do. You cannot just kill and destroy wildlife habitat for profit. So we are willing to, we are actually prepared to sue them.
So you're prepared to file a lawsuit against the county and everybody else involved?
Yes, we are.
Wow. Well, we will definitely be keeping everyone posted on that. Anna, if people want to get more information about this, can you tell us the websites or the Facebook pages of your organizations where people can learn more, and if they want to get involved, to do that?
Certainly, and thank you for giving me that option. Our Facebook page is Preserve Our El Monte, which shortens in POEM.
Mm-hmm.
Easy to remember. We also have a website. It's called Save El Monte Valley. And for people who want to get involved as volunteers, we have a Facebook group, which is called Friends of the El Monte Valley.
And okay, so Friends of El Monte Valley on Facebook. Preserve El Monte, is that also a Facebook page?
Yes, Preserve Our El Monte is the page where we post updates and articles and videos about our fight. And
the
group is just for people who want to get directly involved, such as giving out flyers and...
And the third one again was?
It's just the website where we post information, Save Our El Monte.
So if you go to Preserve Our El Monte on Facebook, there's a link there for the...
For the group and also for the website. And the group of volunteers for everybody who wants to get involved and do something.
Anna, I'm going to give you the final word here today. Is there anything else that you would like our listeners to know that I have not specifically asked you about today?
Sure, I would like to give credit to Billy Ortiz. He is the other leader of the movement, and without him, you know, I wouldn't have, you know, ever heard of the story, and I wouldn't have never discovered what a treasure El Monte Valley is. But I also want to give credit to our community, and it's my firm belief that no matter what goes on behind the closed door, the community has the real power to change the story, and one person can make a difference. I am a firm believer in the power of the people. I urge everybody to get involved and spread the word, because the fight is not over, and it will never be over as long as we're going to keep fighting.
Okay. I want to thank you so very much, Anna, for taking time to come out and join us today on the East County Magazine Show on KNSJ, the Network for Social Justice.
Thank you for having me.